All right, so yeah, so the paddle board, so yeah, that was cool.
I mean, that was
so this is it, my so time. Now Lee's talked about it. Now that you've got one, and you weren't out there today. We saw my buddy out there
yeah.
with the paddle board, and that's
yeah, out of Sandbridge.
Sandbridge, yeah. So the Cobia thing. Now, yeah. That's it's
he
awesome.
Said, he said he hooked the bugs. He didn't land it.
That's the thing is the landing.
Do you think you could land it?
If I were on my knees or sitting down.
Blam! You're going to be blam off the Sandbridge. Blam! It's just damn neck. It's just damn neck. Blam! Blam!
Do you need the Chrome 45?
I mean, I think fishing with bait, live bait, definitely.
Yeah.
Nothing different than the kayak.
Right.
I think, though, fishing artificials...
Where you have to cast and maneuver.
It might be the leverage aspect of it. You can get more... I feel like you can get more leverage inside the kayak than you can standing on a board. I think you'd have to definitely get a lower center of gravity to actually get a solid... Well, my concern would be, like, the hook set. And I think that's why he's probably hooked up with quite a few, but hasn't landed them.
Because he's not...
He's not getting a solid hook set.
Oh, see, I could Jose was heavy off anything.
Yeah. Well, I think so, too, but, you know, the balance is a little different. It's a little sketchier. Yeah. It's not, we have a lot of give in the 13s. And we have a lot of the give in our boats that we can roll and still catch ourselves before it gets too far.
Linda Cabot?
Yeah, but what kind of board is it? Is that a different
kind of board? She's got a Bode.
Yeah.
Is that a big...
Yeah. That's what he has.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a different... It's not a
She's
Bode
got
brand.
Probably, like, the best top of the
She's butt. Got, like, the fishing okay. kind
right. of... Yeah, yeah, so yeah. More she stable, catches, right? like, sailfish.
Well, I don't know if it's more
tarpon.
Stable or not. Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to trying. I'll put it that way.
Because that...
Yeah.
The whole thing about Sandwich is that damn haul down there with the boat and all the crap.
Yeah, I am so
and that's what he does. He goes down and he drops in and paddles out. It's so easy to get through the surf.
He goes and he's out and he's so fast.
Yeah, too. He's out and
super fast. It doesn't have any drag at all.
He was doing it like before work and stuff.
Yeah. And that's what
I've noticed. That's the shit I used to do.
A lot. I mean, I have a very quick boat.
Yeah.
But once I got going, the effort to maintain my speed, a lot less than on a kayak.
Because it's just a little bit in the water.
Till the wind picks up.
It would. You as a sailor.
But I mean, that's one of the things.
You're the big sail.
Yeah. You can sit down, you can, you know, kneel down.
And you kind of need to, because even in a kayak, like I said, I can't stand up when it's windy, because you immediately, I can have so much momentum. As soon as I stand up, it just, woof, it just stops you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to the fall off Sandbridge.
Yeah.
I'll throw it out there. The reds are what I'm really looking forward to. I want a red on the fly and a big red on the fly.
Yeah, I don't know which one would be better to better laying first, a Cobia or a red.
Honestly, I mean,
Cobia's probably easier on a kayak, dude, because it's not like the boat. You're never going to have to change pitch of anything as long as you see them, especially if you get them around, like, a chum or a buoy or something, like a kayak, man, or paddleboard, kayak. But I don't know. That all depends, too, because you're liable to, like, paddle out and go look for cobia and come across a school of drum swimming on the top.
Yeah.
That school of drum swimming on the top is probably going to hit anything, no matter
what. Well, and one of our friends, he went out looking for cobia this year, Mike.
Yeah.
He went out looking for cobia, and he saw them, but the reds were above, and his problem was he could not get his jig down below the reds.
For the Cobia. They were underneath the reds.
They were under the reds.
Swimming in the group of the reds.
Just with them, yep.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it gets pretty interesting out there in the fall.
Yeah. I mean, every time we
like I said, the first time, like, one year, we weren't really catching them good off the pier. This is the first time we went and caught him in the fall off Sandwich. Yeah. We were catching him good off the pier, and I kept trying hard, and I finally caught my one off the pier, and
reds,
I was like, man,
big reds.
I was like, I think if we just go a little further off Sandbridge Pier, we could catch him.
Yeah.
So we paddled like a little south of the pier and out, and literally like set up for 20, 30 minutes. Kevin's rod goes off, hooks up. He didn't even know what he had. He never caught a red in deep water before. Yeah. This thing is going crazy. It comes up to the top, it splashes
shallow water.
Down.
I had plenty of experience, but it was like, what is this?
I mean, this thing is just peeling, dragging, running to the bottom. And
coming up and down. That's
coming down,
like, up
all
down.
Over
like,
the place.
I was like, this has got to be a Cobia.
I get ready to kill the thing. I've got my gaff with me. In the fall, you're allowed to catch Cobias, too.
Yeah.
So I've got my gaff with me. I'm ready to kill the thing. And comes up near him and puts his tail in the air, and I'm like, that's a drum. Yeah. You just got a drum, man. So he caught two that day. I caught one. I'm a good drum guy. The one thing I can do, that is the one thing I can do. The people I've taken for big drum a couple of times, Mike didn't work out, but he eventually caught him.
Yeah.
But I took Angel out the first time, and he caught him. I took Blake out, and he caught him.
Yeah.
But that was the same year as we knew they were just further than the pier.
Yeah.
I was like, just come on. Oh, they're right out here.
That was funny.
We get out there and the bait is just moving, so we just stop.
One more cast past those guys casting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically where we were.
Well, and that's the thing.
Not out in front of them, like a mile away from them, but that same
like depth. Last fall, I really wanted to drum from the beach. I really want to say, hey,
man,
I'm going to
come hang out with me.
I want to put the fight to it. I want to. Like you say, break their wheel or break the line. I mean, I wanted to hurt a drum. And they were 20, 30 feet out of our casting. Yeah.
Come on.
I didn't know it at the same time.
Yeah, come on, man. Come on. We'll go. We'll go this year. Oh, yeah. If you want to catch them on Evers, we'll go.
Oh, yeah.
You got? What do you got?
I don't. I got Seth's.
Dude, you guys, if you really
I got Evers.
If you really want to do that, just go stand off one of the... Shoals.
Oh, if you want to catch one, yeah. If you want to catch one, wait till when we know where exactly they are in the spring. We'll go and stand. Like, you, all you have to do is be past, like...
The shoals are a lot different out there. It's a lot.
Yeah. We'll see them move through, man, and we'll just... You can just bomb a bait in front of them on the long run and fight them like that. Otherwise, if you want to catch them in the fall, we'll go in the fall again. I plan on doing it again this year. I love chasing them in the fall.
I mean, that's a good thing because it's easy to get off work.
I want to catch one at the point and... They're catching them down. I mean, the news is out. So they're catching them down there at the point now. I just don't see myself driving down there. I don't know. If the wind gets right, and it's not right this week. So maybe if the wind's wrong up here and right down there next week, I'll drive down there and take the walk or whatever. I'll walk on whatever.
Yeah.
It's not, you know what I mean? I'll drive right down to the fish.
Yeah.
But.
Maybe catch them off the, you know. I'm still waiting to be on one of my little breaks on the exposed shoals.
Yeah.
And have my bait out and catch one that way. Because I want to catch them off the short rod off the shore.
Oh, yeah.
I want to catch them off my short bait rod off the shore. That's what I want to do.
Well, and I mean, that's the thing, too. I want to see how far I can push
shock
my equipment.
It. It's like shot.
Yeah. Well, I've caught rays off the shoreline.
Pushing,
I've caught big rays.
I try to push my equipment. I think that rod I catch a little. And... I know somebody wants to know, like, Dory wants to know, like, rods and reels. Dude, we just use so much different stuff, I really don't have that much.
I think I did go over some of the stuff when I was doing one of the, maybe you were doing stuff, or maybe the solo podcast, the only one I did with the cameras, I think I went over some of that stuff, maybe. But, yeah, the thing is, we go through stuff. You have a handful of rods, a handful of reels that you change out.
Yeah, I move rods and reels around. I fish on boats a lot, too.
And we don't have, like, dozens and dozens of rigs and setups. I've got...
Yeah, I mean, you people have more stuff than I have.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, you do. I literally use 4 or 5 fishing rods all year long.
Yeah.
I mean, and I just move reels around depending... I'll move reels from one rod to another depending on what I'm using.
Yep.
And I just... It's so hard. I mean...
And it changes.
I'm not caught up in buying everything new that comes out.
Right.
And a lot. Billy is the one to ask about. Billy loves to go to the tackle shop. He loves to look at fishing rods. He probably reads all kinds of reviews on the internet.
Honestly,
you know what I mean?
I don't.
No, he just goes.
We're gonna get Jimmy Miller in here because he's always getting new stuff.
Yeah.
Oh shit! This dress looks.
We got. He's off on like most weeknights.
He's gonna get in here and try to like start some like religious stuff and something. He's gonna start causing trouble.
You
already have
like
his hot
Jesus.
Sauce and act like it's holy water,
dude. If he tries to like staple you to anything, I'll stop him. You look like Jesus.
You're wrong. And for those of you that aren't Catholic, it's Holy Week.
Oh, it is Easter. Yeah,
follow God on Facebook too. Yeah. God is hilarious. By the way, makes a lot of good points.
All right. Yeah. No, we don't need to get religious.
No.
It gets enough trouble on the Facebooks and shit.
People fuck that.
Get all crazy on that. All right. So yeah, I fished this week. I went HRBT. Yeah. Me and Rick, we're trying to go on Thursdays now. I get off work at Maddox River Company now. I'm there Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. And I get off work, and it's boom, HRBT. Yeah. I'm going to start hitting HRBT again, like I've been saying. So
you going to put your visor back on?
I still have it. When the stripers show up, I should put it back on and get a couple pictures with that. Yeah, well, I still got it.
Cool. As soon as you posted up the first time you went there in a long time, somebody tagged HRBT back at it on your post. That might have been Corey or somebody.
Yeah. But we've been going and haven't been seeing nothing. And the light line. All right. So we have to do a little bit of talking about the light line. We don't.
I'm looking to see if we can find somebody to explain
it. I do. I thought about it on here. And I think even this part might work right here. See how you can see the shadow of it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so this is what I thought about it. All right, so the light line is, say, this is the bridge, all right? This is the bridge. This is the cars going by right here. And the shadow of...
computer moved?
No, I'm going to do it like that. All right. The shadow... Do it like that. All right, see right here? Say this is the water, and the shadow of the lights on the bridge come down and hit the water. So this is the light line right here. This is where the shadow of the bridge, is it showing up?
Yeah.
So the light line is right here. And the striper's actually in here, underneath the bridge, lights, in the shadow, facing into the current. And this is the current going this way. So it's actually sightcasting. Snook do it in Florida. People have seen that on TV.
And I think that's what they do with the 3 mile bridge.
Right,
down there,
tarpon
the
and stuff. And tarpon.
Yeah. And 100 bites a night, tarpon, losing every bait in the world.
This is what we call the light line. And it's really the shadow line, but we call it the light line
because the light's on, like, well, the light is on one side of it. It makes a lot of sense.
It's better semantically anyway. So what we do is actually we paddle up behind the light, and we can sight cast to the striper that are, like, basically tails out of the water, backs out of the water. And we can sight cast to them, and it's a lot of fun when they're there because they're really lined up. They're not there yet, and that's what I'm saying. I haven't seen anything because we're not even blind casting. Top water stuff. I'm just eyeballing the line. We paddle up. We paddle just like this. We paddle up and just look right behind it.
I'm not interested in a bunch of small toothy bluefish whatsoever.
I did get bit off the other day at Eastern Shores. There's bluefish there, obviously. There's probably, there's plenty of that type of stuff. But yeah, so that's the light line, and we haven't seen anything, but that it should be soon.
Yeah.
I'm even thinking right now this.
And it gets really fun.
It gets really fun because you can start to pick and choose your size of fish.
Yeah, oh yeah,
you
yeah.
You can
yeah,
go, okay, that's an 18 incher, or there's a 25 incher.
I don't know if we talked about it. I went with Rick back early, but and they weren't. Yeah, I kept the fish. So it was keeper season,
right?
During in the fall, winter, early winter, it was keeper season. We went out there and we caught like nice ones, and we saw small ones, and we saw like there was a guy that sight casted a 27 incher.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So
and that's the deal is when you see the big ones, that's when you really go out there and catch it as many as you want. You can go out there and catch until your arms were up.
When I came back
from my first tour, I got tendonitis because I went and caught 25 one night, and I hurt myself.
I was spinning
crazy. I went on a spinning reel, went crazy with it, and hurt myself. So you can really catch a lot, but when it really gets fun is when you really start targeting those bigger ones. You were hunting, you're passing dozens of fish, and all of a sudden you see a one that's way bigger than each one, any of the other ones, and you turn around on it and you stalk. It's complete hunting. It's 100% hunting.
We'll take fly rods out there.
That's the way. That's real good.
And you just all you're doing is making roll casts. You don't even have to do any false casts. Lines on the water, roll cast it, and it stays right there. So if you can see it, that fly stays right over. I've caught them on cigarette butts before because my flies got.
And that's the technique is to keep it on, a small bait on top of the water, a dark bait because of the shadow, so you look up at the light. If you can't see through it, that's a great bait to use no matter what color it is, as long as you can't see through
it. Dark baits are great at night. A lot of bass fishermen know that.
Yeah.
But dark baits are great at night because it's all a shadow thing.
Yes. Yes. They're looking at silhouettes.
Somebody's asking about lights at night on the kayak.
Yeah, you've got
to
have
as far as you have to have a light, and he's asking whether we use a 360 or just a headlamp. Sometimes I keep my 360 on. If I do, I'll wrap it in plastic to dim it down some. It's really like whatever
especially
you feel safe with because you're
the busy poles are bright.
It's really bright. And also if you try and, like, keep the back of your boat behind you, don't, like, I try and line myself up with the fish and throw it in front of me as opposed to, like, be paddling down the line and see one and try and, like,
well, that's what, I mean? That's what you want to do. When you do see them, you want to cut and get back into position. It's all about positioning because you only have two or three shots in the current because they're active when the current's running. So it's
and
not
if something else comes up, they're going to eat it and swim away.
Right, and you have to you can't cast out too far because the bluefish rule the light.
Yeah.
So you can't if you throw out too far, you got to skim it across the top, get it about a foot in front of the stripers, drop it into the water where it's just below the surface. But when you get it, you'll see the striper look at it, but you have to twitch it. You can't just let it go by them. You have to go bap, bap, and they'll smack it. And you'll watch them smack it. So, yeah, but at the dark baits and getting in positions. It's
yeah, you, like I said about you, the light. You do what you feel safe with, too.
The light, you want one, but what I've done a lot of times.
Don't shine a light at the fish.
Yeah, you turn your headlight off when you're getting the fish. But with a 360 light, I'll put a piece of black tape on the front part of it. So it's shining all the way behind me, not right directly in front of me.
Yeah.
So it kind of does it out a little bit.
And if you need that light, you have your head.
Yeah, always have your headlight on.
A super, super bright light isn't like, if you're trying to fish that type of shadow area, the super, super bright light isn't going to be beneficial to you.
You won't be able to see
for fishing because you're not going to be able to see them, but you got to keep yourself safe too. Yeah. And there's more and more boaters are fishing that light line area where we fish too, so.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's really make sure you keep yourself safe.
It's real easy to get caught up in staring at the light. I've had to remember to blink sometimes, just paddling by and looking at fish, and then all of a sudden, there's a boat right here. You almost run into boats.
Yeah, yeah. And they anchor, they drift, all kind. You know, and people are casting.
Yeah, yeah. So you gotta watch yourself.
The fish are plentiful.
Yeah.
So
and with the kayak, you have an advantage because you're really hunting them. You're sight casting. Mm-hmm.
You got a lot.
So fun.
The boaters are really jealous when they really start seeing us do our thing out there when it's good.
Yeah, yeah, because it's exciting. It's you can pick and choose, and it's hunting, man. And you can camp.
They're catching throwbacks and throwbacks and throwbacks, and we're catching big ones and throwing them back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Keepers and throwing them back.
You can camp on them if you leave about 3 foot of line off.
When they're active, you can't leave your lure in the water.
Right.
Yeah. If you're paddling the line, your lure can't dangle in the top.
As long as the rod
I've
itself.
Had a couple striper almost take a rod off.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't leave it. It can't dangle.
Yeah.
It has to stay on the boat. It can't dangle in the water.
Because the ones in the shadow that you won't see.
The front of the boat.
Yeah. And if you are hunting one and like a bigger one and you hit him on the head or whatever and he drops back down, just wait. I've hunted one.
They'll come back up
a half hour before. One fish for a half hour because he come back up and might come up down the next set of pilings. So you gotta hunt him back down there. It's cool because it you gotta practice agility. You gotta practice your casting. You gotta be dead on. You gotta practice your sights. You gotta practice your agility, your boat control, and then fighting underneath the bridge with the fish in the pilings with current.
And then looking at, most people aren't going to bring 10 rods out with
them. Yeah, take one.
Yeah, one.
One.
One. If you need a spare, you can keep it in your kayak, or it has to stay in your lap.
Because the HRBT is so low.
It's low.
Well, and I'll tell you, I went to rocket launchers for that. So if I want to take more rods instead of my flush mounts on my inshore boat, I got my rocket launchers that I could keep them below.
There you go. Yep. Yak Attack rocket launchers.
Yeah, but that's one thing
you don't need.
But if I'm going fishing during the day, I'm going like when the season kind of opens up, or when the fish really get there, flounder get there, I'll go in the daytime and just hit late sunset to hit the flounder, and then as soon as the stripers come up, if I had another ride, I'll put it inside because all of a sudden I'm going to be going through the bridge and underneath the bridge. I've done maneuvers where I've backed myself, with the current and caught an eddy backwards and swung myself through the bridge.
That's awesome.
But you can wreck your rods if you...
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's tough because you get pinned up against the bridge with the current because you're fishing during current and all that stuff. But it's a lot of fun. It's challenging, but it's a lot of fun. And it's going to be any day that opens up. Me and Rick are just going to keep going every week until we know it's just going to happen soon because I think they're spawning right now. I think that's why we're not seeing them, because they're spawning right now. Another guy, when I posted about it, go in the creeks. Well, yeah, because they're spawning, probably.
Well, and I mean, it's good practice for other things, too.
Yeah.
The HRBT is awesome practice if you want to go and progress into the Bay Bridge Tunnel.
Yeah.
Or you know, want to go offshore.
Well, HRBT is where I considered where I learned my skills. Yeah. I learned my control skills, my maneuvering skills, and my fish fighting skills, because it was it's kind of a hectic place. It's got a current, but it's not overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's a low bridge. You kind of feel comfortable there. It's not
do that. Races through it in the daytime. Yeah. Between pilings. Yeah.
That's our race. You've done, you know, done a race when we get, you know, we get bored and we'll go racing through the pines with current. And if you touch, that's a point off or whatever. It's like, boom, you hit. So it's like, you got to really go race as fast as you can and not touch the pilings. And you got eddies and shit all,
man.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
We've also done, like, trying to... The tubes that drain it, we've tried to, like, flip our baits through these little, like, 4-inch pipes.
So you're sitting there in traffic, and I see you see a bait plop up through the road. Through the road.
Miss by, like, a few feet.
All right, so, yeah, that's HRBT. I'm probably going to like to shoot video of that one of these days to... It's hard because it's nighttime fishing.
Well, and I mean, on your website, I don't know if you still have it, but you have a great picture. Or had a great picture.
Yeah, it's 35mm. It's kind of a rough, grainy picture, but yeah, I have it. And Rick actually used it in one of the magazines.
Yeah, and see how stacked up this fish can get.
Yeah. So I have filmed it before with my cameras, and it seems like I've tested it. You know, I've tested it on one fish before, and it shows up, but it's hard. I might be able to shoot that. Then do some post work and try to bring it out with some contrast, maybe, you know. But it might be rough. I wish I can just get captured what we see, you know.
Yeah.
And I even tried like those little light, you know, and that doesn't show up too because it reflects off of it. Yeah. So it's kind of tough to shoot those fish underwater, you know, looking like that. But I want to do one. It's because it's a fun fishery and it's kind of, you know, it takes a lot of technique and stuff. It'd be a good YouTube video.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of people that might have fished dock lights before, but not the HRBT.
Yeah.
You can think of it, those fish are biting right at the edge of that shadow.
Yeah.
It's the same principle.
Except it's a very defined line. Yes. And they put their nose right on it. So that's the cool
part. As far as where those fish are sitting.
That's where it's at.
It's the same. Yeah, you'll see fish out on the light shoot out from that dock light every once in a while.
But they come back to the
shadow. But they're coming right
back. They're using it for ambush. They're using it for actual cover. I mean, it's cover for them. Because it's an actual shadow.
And I mean, it's, you get out there when, you know, it's a good dark night. Yeah. That light line's unmistakable.
Yeah.
Whereas like the Bay Bridge Tunnel, if we have a full moon, then the light line becomes less defined.
And it's, and also HRB, reason why HRBT is so vivid is
so
low to the water. And Chesapeake Bay Bridge is really high up. But, And with that being that low water, the light line is so vivid, and it's just really bright and really dark and really bright. So it's usually better on the incoming light wise because you got open water that way. Except when you have a full moon coming up, and that's when you can mess up your eyes.
Yeah.
On the outgoing on
you're
the west
looking
bridge,
at the naval station, and
so it's a little tougher. And the current runs different on that side. It kind of runs at an angle, so you kind of have to deal with that a little bit more. On the other side, you can kind of get in between the light line and the actual bridge. It's a little bit tougher on the outgoing, but it's better on the incoming, sight-wise and everything. Yeah.
But I think you hit the nail right on the head. That's where I know I learned how to fish.
Yeah.
That's where I got comfortable going other places.
Yeah, because it gave you enough challenge where it wasn't super threatening, but it was enough challenge to you learned off of it.
You know, hey, you got shoals on an incoming tide right behind you. You know, it's intimidating.
Yeah, and also... But if you get out there before the light line, those shoal areas during certain times of the year, man, flounder, puppy drum, speckled trout. I mean, there can be all kinds of stuff depending on the time of the year.
Flounder is an amazing place for flounder. As a tagger, you would go there just to get numbers. You would go there to 25-30 a night. Yeah. And the cool thing about it is they keep coming back to HRBT. You tag them, they'll come back year after year to HRBT. That's what's neat. The tagging channel just showed that.
Real quick, for beer tonight.
Oh, yeah, beer report.
Billy
sorry, so late on the beer report.
Yeah, Billy and I started drinking a Desert Pale Ale, which I brewed with my sister's boyfriend. It's a clone of Sierra Nevada's Pale Ale.
Right.
It's really good. A lot of the other clone recipes call for a dry hop. This didn't call for a dry hop, so we didn't do one, and it's not real super hop heavy. You can taste it. It's got a good malt flavor to it.
Real smooth aftertaste.
It's smooth. It's smooth and it's light. The alcohol in it is like 5.3 or something like that. It's not heavy.
Yeah.
And I'm drinking out of a Beach Brewing Company, because I can't remember if I've had a growler full of their stuff yet, but Beach Brewing here in Virginia Beach has got their thing going on, so I got their cup.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll probably, it's just one day I'm going to have, like, the growlers have to be fresh, so I'll have to be out that way when we're doing doing a show that night, yeah, and I'll scoop one up. I always have an empty one in my truck, so, in case I drive by a brewery, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, if I end up being out that way towards one, you know, it's worth getting.
That's a good idea, man.
Yeah.
I got everything in my cart.
Yeah, I mean, I got a stainless steel. I like their stainless steel growlers, man. The cap is real good. So. So tonight we were drinking a pale ale that I made.
Oh, yeah. So that's your stuff.
Yeah, that was why. This is not here. This is the Rebel IPA from Sam Adams.
Yeah. All right, so yeah, then I went to the Eastern Shore, and it's still, the water temperature is right, I mean, it's 60, right? So it's, you know, but...
And the moon should have been right, it's just things were... Still, it got warm really fast, and it's really, really cold
the water, it's not warm. The water looked too ocean-y.
Yeah.
It didn't have enough stuff in it. It had, well, I mean, it's not
a green ocean stuff.
Well, it had the gook, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, the actual, the water didn't...
It wasn't churned up enough.
Well, it wasn't churned up. Didn't have enough nutrients in, I guess, what I'm saying. It wasn't alive enough. The only thing I really saw was periwinkles. I mean, it wasn't a lot of life. Didn't see any crabs out yet.
No crabs, no hermit crabs.
No, few hermit crabs. Very, not like it gets yet. So it's still kind of...
crabs?
Still, well, they weren't big. They were super tiny.
These are up. My mantis now is a lot smaller.
You see your new mantis. I haven't even seen that thing
yet. She's hiding because it's at night.
Okay.
I need to get the light.
Well, as soon as we start getting some crabs off the pilings, or
I went to next to the Ocean View Pier the other day and started flipping rocks, cut the shit out of one of my fingers, but I caught them like from this big, rock crabs from this big to I got a couple real big ones that I put in there, and I think I'm probably gonna. I'm going to use them for bait.
Yeah.
Because I got three big ones. I got the stowaway, and I don't know if I'm going to use the stowaway for bait. Yeah, put the stowaway in the bait tank. But I don't know. The stowaway lasted through the peacock, and it was like eating the peacock mantis when I found the peacock mantis dead. So you know what I mean? Like, I mean, you survived, dude. You made it like the whole time.
See, that's
like
now,
over a year and a half.
Now, you used to give me shit about the crabs I had.
No, fuck that. If she was special, I would love it.
You and wanted me to give you the crabs that I had raised in my tank, and you wanted to take them.
Like, come on, watch. Come
on. I've been watching Grove since they were like boom, 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 shedded four times, and you wanted to smash them.
That's, that's right. Oh, if I can get her out tonight, I'll put some food in the tank. I put a crab in a bucket. From when you first came over, but I forgot.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's up there in the tank, in a container.
If it's too late for that thing to come out.
No, all I gotta just put a little... If I put a little bait in the tank and it comes
out. Okay.
All I gotta do is put a little smell. If it comes out, it comes out.
Yeah,
not, it's been working all day and it hasn't eaten anything, so it may come out. It's been, like, doing crazy things. It might be getting
right
home.
Yeah.
Might be getting a mole.
Yeah.
It's eating the... It, I mean, it kills everything I put in there.
I'm gonna see it. We'll see it after this. But, yeah, I paddled around... I got out there and the winds were supposed to come up. I was going to camp out. The winds were supposed to come up, but then it was supposed to drop out the next day. And then, so I started out and I paddled, you know, started paddling. Just paddled out and start putting putting baits out, just trolling artificial baits. And had a bluefish bite one of my tails off and all that stuff. But just kind of landed, took a picture, and went across and was going to go all the way across and do, you know, a couple miles from there just to go to try to get some warmer water on the outgoing. And the wind came up, and the fucking came up. I mean, it jumped. I didn't realize. I was like, okay. I was out there, and I landed just to get out of the wind for a little while and kind of think of what I'm going to do at this point. But it was blowing so hard, I was like, okay, this feels like 25. And then I brought my phone out and looked at the buoy report, and it was like, yeah, it's 25 out here. I was like, shit, this is dangerous. It's dangerous out here. And it's warm, but I didn't want to camp out because I knew as soon as the sun went down, it was going to get cold, and it was windy. I don't like dealing with wind even camping. If I don't have to. Then I looked at it the next day and was going to blow all through the next day. And I was like, I'm coming home.
I saw a friend of mine on Facebook today. It was camping down in Hatteras for like the past couple days. They made it two nights. Today, Call it quits. Hotel room.
It's freezing. It's freezing.
Man, they scheduled their vacation. Him and his fiance scheduled their vacation. Like, they closed in the house a few weeks ago, had their party and all that. Went down there for vacation.
Yeah.
Man.
It's amazing.
End up in an oceanfront hotel.
But my thing was, I was thinking I was going to be able to catch him. I was thinking I was going to be able to find him in the afternoon with the album on. Like,
yeah.
Thinking about that.
Warm up.
I couldn't get on the water at that point. It was blowing so hard. All I could do was get off the island, and it blew me in. And that was it. And that was it. You know what I mean? It was flying. So I wanted to find him in the afternoon and then try to hit him again in the morning for that same tide. That was my goal. And the wind just shot it. I didn't get the afternoon shot, and then I just came home. So yeah, that's when I did one trip, and I was like, you know, so it was like, that's why I started texting you guys. Like, all right, you guys gonna go next Sunday? Let's be good. I can't go on myself on one of these. I can't go a day and back just for nothing. You know, I gotta go and
right.
split a toll or somebody
right.
or something. Yeah, that's I'll go for a couple of days. You know, I'll spend that for a couple of days, but not just go for a day. But now it's looking like Monday, Tuesday, something like that. It's looking all right. At least 2 days are good, but. It's going to be cold. Well, you know, today when I was outside, it was blowing, it was cold, but the sun's hot.
Yeah.
Sun's hot at this point. It's not winter. The sun
is hot.
Yeah.
When I came over
here. Dude, my car.
It was like 45.
Yeah.
43, 45.
But Phil.
And it wasn't.
Your car cold. Does not. When you get, dude, if you get in your car, cold. If your car's been in the sun, you get in your car, it's not like getting in your car in the winter when it's been in the sun at all.
That's right.
Your car is. But my car was hot when I got in it after work today. I was going to go out there and warm it up, and I forgot. I didn't even think about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because well, it feels like we're snapping back.
It was like, man, the inside of this thing is nice and warm. Sun just glaring on it, you know? Not like the winter at all.
No.
It's
definitely. Even when I went out and took that picture of that boat today, when I went out and took pictures of that boat, it was cold. Wind was blowing off the water, but it wasn't like it was a month ago or 2 months ago.
Like it would drive you off the beach.
Yeah,
it's like,
right.
This is doable. I'm not comfortable, but it's not horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing is about that day when I was out there Sunday was it was 75 degrees. So I'm like basically just wearing a shirt. And then, you know, starting off with, and then I just had just sweatpants on in my waders. And I got out of the water, started blowing, I got cold, so I had to put layers on. So now I'm like, hot and cold because the sun's hot.
I mean, that's the opposite.
The wind's blowing.
Sunday, like us, we were the opposite. We were inland, bass fishing, cooking.
Yeah.
Got off the water because
the sun was hot. The sun was hot, but the wind was like, it was freezing.
Yeah, but it was windy as shit where we were.
Yeah, but it was inland wind.
I'm wearing board shorts, you know.
Oh my God, I was in my waders, dude, I was cooking, like, I'm done because I'm steam. Like I can feel the steam coming out.
That's like this week is going to be like the 50s, 60s.
Yeah.
During the day, that's like that's easier to deal with than with the 50s at night. And then you know if I'm trying to camp out, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to like be 80 degrees during the day, 50 degrees, and
back in the mid 60s, 70s next week.
Yeah. Hopefully the winds will calm down enough.
So and we spent an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Talking about.
Just fishing.
Just a few fishing trips that we did this weekend.
That's what I'm saying. Once we start fishing,
I mean,
it's not going to be, we don't have to like, we just get here and talk about fishing.
That's the way it should be, man.
Yep.
Light line striper will eat a gym sock on a jig head. Yep.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah, somebody asked about
using
artificial eels. You don't need an artificial anything.
Yeah.
Really, an artificial like anything or a swift movement with a jig head.
Yeah, a shoelace on a jig
head.
Yeah, hook. I mean,
the end of your frayed, the frayed end of your rope.
Right.
Cut it off. Tangle it on your hook.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Give it a good flip.
As long as it creates a silhouette and moves.
Moves. Yeah.
And when you
it's a shrimp
what
or
the
a crab or a bait.
Yeah. Well, silver size usually typical.
It's matching the hatch.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're throwing a 5-inch bait...